Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
To the UK, and it's a row that began with the refurbishing of the Prime Minister's flat in Downing Street, but now it has come around to his handling of the coronavirus crisis and the allegation that he said he would rather allow bodies to pile high in their thousands than impose another lockdown. Boris Johnson's former top aide Dominic Cummings has made several claims about the Prime Minister that Number 10 is busy denying. I'm joined by John Rentoul, Chief Political Commentator with The Independent, and Adam Fleming, Chief Political Correspondent with BBC News. Adam, I'll come to you first. Good morning to you and thank you for joining us. For the uninitiated, can you explain to us why we are hearing the phrase chatty rat on British media quite a bit at the moment?
Morning to you. Yeah, so that phrase first emerged last autumn in the UK when the government was having an internal debate about whether to introduce the second lockdown. And then there was, on the Friday night before it was introduced, there was a leak to some newspapers and to some broadcasters, including the BBC, that that's what Boris Johnson had decided to do. Then we learned Boris Johnson hadn't quite decided that that's definitely what he was going to do at that point. And the theory is that somebody around him had leaked the news to bounce him into the decision, to basically seal the deal. That then triggered a leak inquiry to find the person who was described as the quote-unquote chatty rat who leaked it. And then that leak inquiry still hasn't reported back, may never report back. And there's all sorts of suspicions about who it was and all sorts of people saying it wasn't them, including Dominic Cummings, the Prime Minister's former chief advisor.
Yeah, and there's no doubt he knows a lot of things. And I heard you this morning on the BBC very early talking about that image of him leaving Downing Street for the last time with his cardboard box full of secrets. And the speculation is that he has an awful lot more in there.
Yeah, so he was the Prime Minister's kind of brain, if you like, for most of the time that Boris Johnson has been Prime Minister. He left office in December. That's when he carried the cardboard box out of Downing Street. And he was there for everything. And it sounds like he was copied into a lot of emails. It sounds like he got lots of screen grabs of WhatsApp messages. And he wrote a blog on Friday, which was very critical of the Prime Minister and made some quite serious allegations about him. But he also said, I am prepared to hand over this treasure trove of material to all the various parliamentary inquiries who are investigating various things. So that's why I fixated on that metaphor, because now I'm just asking myself, what was in that cardboard box? Mm-hmm. I don't think it was just his cuddly toys and pictures of his family from his desk.
Well, I saw some speculation over the weekend, people saying who saw him in meetings that he was scribbling a lot in his notebook. And now everybody's wondering, what exactly was he writing down in those meetings?
Well, yeah, you look at him and he looks like a person who would scribble a lot in a meeting.
Now, he does.
I'm sure a lot of people who were there for witnessing the scribbling thought it was his thought process and his diagrams and how he was trying to work through issues. But if it was him taking like verbatim detailed notes about specific things people were saying, well, then I come back to that phrase treasure trove. A lot of information could be heading our way.
I just wonder how you in the media feel about all of these high level investigations into how stories come to be published.
How do you mean, how do we feel about them?
Well, I mean, if a story appears in a paper, is it appropriate then for government to devote resources to investigate how that story emerged?
Oh, well, that's not a question for me, is it? That's a question for the politicians and the officials working on it and then society at large about what politicians' priorities should be. I think the point I would make is, as journalists, look, you're always looking for information. And then it's a question of where does that information come from? Is it a leak from a person? In which case you then got to look at the person's motives, because that may affect what type of information you've got. But then you look at all these parliamentary inquiries that are happening, and well, they get information out into the public domain, whether it is speaking to Simon Case, the cabinet secretary today. We're now going to have 2 hours of a actually quite secretive, because of his job, official on the record talking about the business of government. That's a lot of information that's going to come into the public domain as a result.
And just before we bring John into this, will you talk to me about the apartment refurbishing at number 11 Downing Street? Because this is the nub of all of this, isn't it?
Well, it's one of the many nubs as opposed to the total nub. Basically, all prime ministers, when they come into Downing Street, they refurbish the flat that they have, which is actually above number 11. And prime ministers are entitled to claim £30,000 of taxpayers' money to help with their refurbishment. Boris Johnson did that. But then he paid a bit more because it sounds like he got some quite fancy refurbishment done. So the question has been for a few weeks now, where did that money come from? On Friday, the government said it was his own money, but that hasn't stopped the questions because people are saying, well, actually, could you tell us if maybe it was a Conservative Party donor, a wealthy businessman who maybe gave you a loan or a donation? And then the question is, well, was the loan to Boris Johnson personally or to the Conservative Party? And nothing along those lines has been declared. Now, that either means the loan or donation never happened and it was only considered, or it was never even close to being considered. But yeah, the questions haven't gone away. There's lots of people want to know, where did Boris Johnson get that money from? And some people might think that's not a fair question to ask, but okay, there's a suspicion.
Okay, well, just stay with us, Adam, because I want to bring John in here and talk about the impact of all of this. John, Westminster, I see your own paper saying that number 10 officials are very concerned. That's not the language that your paper uses, but very concerned about what might be coming down the tracks. But none of this seems to be doing Boris Johnson any harm in the court of public opinion.
Well, it's only just got going now. But you're right. I don't think most people are following the ins and outs that closely. I mean, there was a poll that suggested that only a quarter of people were actually following the Greensill allegations closely. That was the business about David Cameron, the former prime minister, lobbying his former colleagues on behalf of Greensill Capital. I mean, that was a very complicated business, and in the end, David Cameron's big defence was that he wasn't very good at lobbying because he didn't succeed in getting what the company wanted. So, I suppose in that sense, people lost interest, and I think the same will happen on this number 11 flat refurbishment. I mean, if it does turn out that Boris Johnson paid for it himself, you know, maybe there'll be some questions about whether there was a payment from a Tory donor, interim payment, a loan, or anything like that. But if Boris Johnson ended up paying for it himself, then I think the questions will go away and they'll move on to the next thing, which will be the really colourful quotation on the front page of the Daily Mail today.
Tell us about that.
That's about Boris Johnson saying, "Let the bodies pile up." Mm-hmm. You know, that he's supposed to have said that at the time when they were having this debate before the second lockdown, as Adam's just explained extremely clearly. Boris Johnson was very reluctant to introduce that lockdown, and at one point is alleged to have said, "Let the bodies pile up," because it was more important for him to keep society open, which was a legitimate point of view. But if he used those words, that could be damaging for him.
Yes, and the Defence Secretary, Adam, was on BBC Breakfast this morning, outright denying that happened.
Yeah, and Ben Wallace, the Defence Secretary, is a long-standing ally of Boris Johnson's and a friend of his, a pretty close friend. And he said, "This is not the Prime Minister that I recognise. That's not the sort of language that he would use." Although I suppose the problem for Boris Johnson is that quite a lot of people would say, actually, that is the kind of vivid, controversial thing that you might say in a meeting. But of course, that quote is anonymously sourced, shorn of all context, and we don't even know that it is from Dominic Cummings. Mm-hmm. The speculation is that it's from him, but it's not entirely clear in the paper where exactly it's come from. So who might have a particular axe to grind to quote him saying that?
And John, on the Dominic Cummings front, I mean, we did all believe that he had left the stage. He said that himself. Are you surprised that he's back in this way? And how much more do you expect from him?
Well, that's the big question. I mean, what is surprising is that, you know, Dominic Cummings, who was regarded as a rogue and a charlatan by public opinion and very much disapproved of for his eye test defence of interpreting the lockdown rules to suit himself in the Barnard Castle period. He's now become, you know, a sort of reliable source to much of the media. So it's interesting, you know, the word of a disaffected former advisor against a prime minister fighting for his reputation. Things could get extremely, extremely dirty, but nobody's going to know who's telling the truth.
And the big problem here seems to have stemmed from Dominic Cummings' relationship with Carrie Simmons, the Prime Minister's partner.
Yes, that doesn't seem to have helped. They certainly fell out, and that contributed to Dominic Cummings' departure, because the strange thing was, at the time of the Barnard Castle business, when it was widely assumed that the Prime Minister would get rid of Dominic Cummings at that point, and he should have done, really, he sustained quite a bit of political damage defending him, and then they fell out anyway. So Boris Johnson's had a pretty rough time of the breakup of his relationship with Dominic Cummings. But as you said at the start, you know, politics is sometimes very simple. The main thing people care about is the vaccines, and that's going well, and therefore the government gets quite a lot of the credit for it.
Okay, I feel we need bongs here to say to be continued. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed, Adam Fleming and John Rentoul. Coming up after the break, we'll be talking about this extraordinary new podcast. It's accompanied by a documentary which will be on RT Television on Wednesday night. It's called Gunplot. We'll tell you all about it after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.